Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life, the very fabric of our being, through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, we call that Polish Armadoxy, and we invite you to take a look with us. Take a step with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Wild days in Southern California. It has been scorcher. Scorcher plus, like it has been so hot you can't believe it. Like if you were like made out of sugar, you'd be standing there and all of a sudden you'd just start melting. But I gotta tell you, it's no fun. I don't know how some of these other places where you guys get some of this heat along with the moisture. And oh, it is horrible. Anyway, we are surviving here in Southern California. It is Thursday evening. This is kind of unusual for us. We've got the whole crew at the Epostle Studios doing the next step a little bit late tonight. Just been really difficult times. Too many things going on and trying to play this juggling act. Hey, are you familiar with that? You know how to do that? Hey, you know, speaking of juggling, did you watch the Olympics? Did you see the ending of the Olympics? Beautiful. How come they don't have juggling? You've ever thought about that? Why don't they have juggling at the Olympics? I mean, it is a pretty difficult sport, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty difficult to do. Have you ever tried it? You know, try it with three balls. It's difficult. But there were so many interesting events at the Olympics. Things that, you know, you just kind of like forget about. Like one of my favorites is that synchronized swimming. It's kind of like freaky when you think about it. You know, they're like swimming upside down. But some of them are just the gymnastics. I mean, like it's wild. It's wild what they do. And then the human body to its limits, you know, these races. And they're always beating old records in times. You know, it's just amazing. Anyway, I've been sharing with you a good friend of ours, Adam Krikorian. So proud of him. He is, of course, is now the gold medal winning United States women's water polo team. He is the coach of that team, and I just heard from him a couple days ago. Got a nice email from him. So proud of him. And I shared with you last couple weeks, you know, some of the commentary that was made after the Australian defeat, after they defeated Australia, and with that extra time and everything. I mean, the comments that I really appreciated, they were talking about this individual as being a man of honor, a man of integrity. And these words, you know, you don't find these too often. You really don't hear people talking in these terms. I mean, think about it for a moment. How often do you hear people talking about integrity, about honesty? I mean, on a world level, you know, they're on a world stage and they're talking talking about it. These are commentators describing a person and describing how he deals with some of the difficulties of the day. And certainly we were very proud to know that, you know, here this was Adam, a guy that grew up, you know, in the church. And we had the pleasure of knowing him as he grew up. And now here he is on the world stage. And we're talking about success, not in the terms that everyone else is talking on the world stage. We're not talking about the material wealth. We're talking about the things that really do matter. That at the end of the day, are you able to say, yes, I am a human being and I have lived up to the standards placed upon me? That is, I have been honest with what has been given to me. I have been reputable and I did the best that I can with the talents that have been given to me. And so a lot of pride. A little sideline heard from his dad, and he told us that apparently the coaches don't get a medal. It's the players who get the medal. So at the end of the ceremony, of the medal receiving ceremony, the players went up to him and they shared their medal with him. I think he had something like 13 medals on him. I didn't get the entire story, but I hear that there's a video around. So if there is something like that, I'll be happy to share it with our listeners. We'll put a link on our show notes. If not on today's, definitely we'll revisit it next week. But I did want to start off with this piece today because it really sets the pace of what we do over here. I know we have a lot of listeners who have just joined us on The Next Step, and people say, well, what is this like? What do you mean by The Next Step? Well, this is exactly it. How do you transfer that faith into action so that it becomes a living faith? So it's not something that's just inside of a Bible. It's not just a few lines written here or there, or it's not even something that is a gesture that you make on Sundays, but it's a gesture that you make every single day of your life, that you live the faith. That when you say, hey, I'm a Christian, it must mean something. It means that Christ is living inside of you, not just on a Sunday morning and not when you just decide, well, you need a little bit of help. And the reason I'm saying this is because we're seeing a lot of this, especially because of social media right now and the way we've been our apostle and are in his shoes. You know, we've been on all different kinds of social media and networks and everything, and you get a lot of people who chime in every so often, and they'll like you, and they'll throw out a Bible passage at you. They think that you're a Christian. Okay, so here's a Bible passage. Well, you know, that's great. That's great that you know the Bible, but you got to remember that it's beyond just Bible that we talk about over here. And I know that's something that's very difficult for people to understand, but please challenge yourself to think in those terms too, that it is beyond Bible. It's making that Bible, the words of the Bible, real in your life today, always, so that when you're doing things, I mean, you look at the person of Jesus. He tolerates everybody out there. He tolerates every sinner. He tolerates everybody. The one person he doesn't tolerate and he has no room for is the hypocrite. And what is a hypocrite? Somebody who says one thing and then with his actions lives out another. In other words, he doesn't walk the talk. He talks one thing, but when it comes to walking, he's doing something else. And it's easy for us to look at others and say, hey, that person's a hypocrite. But remember, Jesus did that because he was Jesus. You can't do that. You can't look at somebody else and say that person is a hypocrite without insulting yourself, because you are a hypocrite. Are you perfect? No, you're not perfect. You've got your faults. And that's why so beautifully Jesus says, first remove the log out of your own eye so that you can see the speck in your brother's eye. And really, this is an exercise. It's an exercise that you've got to really try. It's looking within, looking at some of the difficulties and challenges that you have in your life before you cast out to other people and say, hey, there's problems over there. Now, what is the next step? Well, the next step is exactly that, is living the faith, trying to clean up our act. And in so doing, well, what are we doing? When we are clean, well, we affect other people, right? And so our community, our little villages, our small little towns, our country, our world becomes a better place by us cleaning up ourselves. Okay, now let's push that a little bit more, okay? Let's talk a little bit more about this. You look at what does the world need right now? Well, you look at what's going on in Syria. Right now, I'm, as an Armenian priest, I've got a directive today, saying that this Sunday we're going to be collecting money in our church, you know, to send over to Syria. And it's a noble gesture. Okay, our bishop has sent out this directive. It's a noble gesture. When you really think about it, I mean, you're thinking about these mass murders. I know. What are we going to collect? But that's okay. Even though it takes to fill up that bucket, you need to start with drops, right? Even the ocean begins with just a couple drops, okay? Whatever that expression is, you know where I'm going. In other words, let's do something, okay? We need to do something. But I got this directive this morning, and it was just a few hours later that I read that a collective group of Armenians had gotten together, and of course the church is in there too, as this ethnic institution, the church, Armenian Apostolic Church, and together that they are going to raise money for Syria. Why? Because Syria has had, always has had, a very large Armenian population. Well, that's great. Familiarity, you know, you can relate, right? Because there are Armenians over there. But what about our Christian background? Isn't that the next step? Isn't that the next step that as Christians, as people who claim Jesus Christ is the center of our life, that our life is defined by love? Don't we have an obligation not only to Syria because we're Armenian, but to Syria because there's a humanitarian need over there? And this is what really confounds me. And I know I'm not just playing a game of semantics. Somebody may say, well, what does it matter which way you get the money as long as relief is going? Absolutely. I agree with you. 100%. You know, and we're going to be digging deep in and trying to reach our goals for Syria, definitely, okay? I'm not discounting that, but I'm talking here on the next step. I'm talking, what is our next step? Do you just want a faith that you just talk and say, well, okay, I'm a Christian? Or does that Christianity need to mean something? So that it's Syria right now. It was Darfur a couple years ago. It still is Darfur, but everybody's closed their eyes. I mean, except for this small little Armenian little island that we have. And I'm being really honest. Sadly, I'm being honest about this. Very sadly. We're the only ones that are talking about Darfur. And have consistently been talking about Darfur, that we need to focus our attention on there. Because there is a genocide going on over there. Okay, now it's happening in Syria. There's difficulties, there's murder, there's mass murder, there's scale of genocide happening in Syria. Well, tomorrow it's going to be somewhere else. I mean, as people, you can't just pick and choose. We're not living in that kind of world and saying, well, let's go and deal with Syria right now because there is an Armenian population there. That's great, yes. I mean, familiarity. There's people that I could relate to. But people are people that I need to relate with. People are hurting. It's not just Armenians. It's not just Syrians. There are people that are hurting. And we need to get out of this thing. Well, I'm giving this as a preface because we're going to be looking at an article that appeared this week where we talk about Jesus. What would Jesus do in this similar situation? Okay? I hope you're with me all right now. We're going to be coming back. We're going to play the song of the day right now. We do this every week. We select a song for the moment. I'd like to play this song, a contemplative song. I'd really like you to, as this is playing, and if you're, I know there's so many different ways that people listen to us. I know people actually burn our MP3s onto CDs and then listen to them in the car. Of course, on smartphones, there's different ways. But if you are listening in front of a computer, this might be a nice little chance. While the song is playing, go ahead and open up a browser page. Check out what's going on in Syria, what's happening over there, and do me a favor. Think about how you can help, what you can do to make a change, to make a difference. And I'll be really honest with you. I think about these all the time. It's not just a matter of money. It's a matter of changing ourselves. You cannot bring peace in the world with weapons. I refute that, and Jesus said it so beautifully as an axiom. He said, "He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword." Now, that's not a threat, right? It's just an axiom. It's a truth. If you pick up the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So it's just obvious. You want peace, you need to work for peace. You need to work for justice. You need to be out there on the fields. Not with guns, not with bigger bombs, but talking about something that is lasting. Contemplative peace. I love this artist, Armin Chakmakchin. Enjoy. Thank you. Armin Chakmakian, the artist, The Last Dance, the name of the song. Did you like that? Very contemplative. I love his music. I love Armin Chakmakian music. We will definitely put a link on our show notes so you could check out his music, check out this song, and do check out his music. You know, there's like a few artists that no matter what they put out, you just kind of this was more true, I think, back in the days of the albums. You know, the albums were like a production, and especially when you had like the concept albums, you had like music and every one of them. I think one of the first concept albums that I was familiar with, or that I think generally it is known as one of the first concept albums, was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. And when you think about it, it's like the entire concept and every song on there. And Beatles were very true to this form too. You'd pick up an album and just about every song you could relate to, you liked. And I think that kind of experience is gone now when you don't have the album experience as much as you have, you know, selecting the MP3s. So you download this MP3 from this artist or that artist. So you basically don't have to pay for the entire album. And, you know, there's some economic value to that too, right? In the old times, if you liked one song, you'd have to buy this entire album to get this one song. Now you could just go and pay the 99 cents and pick up one of these songs. But if you're like me, and I know there's a few of them, there's a few artists that I will just go out and pick up the entire album, and I will familiarize myself with every song on there because I just love the music. Yeah, you know, I've talked enough about my artists. You know which ones. Yes, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Well, how about you? How about you? Are you selective? Do you select a few songs from here and there? Or are there artists that you just, no matter what they put out, do you enjoy it? I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you like. Okay, how about this one? Great blessing season, of course. Did you think we'd get through the season without playing that little riff over there? The Grapevine song. And of course, when I hear that song, I always think of those little raisins walking towards you. We had great blessing in church last Sunday. And of course, that's the first fruit. We talked about it last week on our next step. And of course, the whole idea of how we're connected to the vine, Jesus Christ being the vine. And I got to tell you, this Sunday was very magical for me. It was magical and beautiful. You know when a service becomes magical for me? When it has meaning. You're talking about, we were in a church. I mean, our church in Glendale, we're sitting on the corner. When it's packed with people standing, we're about 300 people inside the church. There were people inside, outside. It was a sweltering heat. Air conditioning's not working. And I gave a sermon in this heat, and I was feeling for the people. And I've got to tell you something. People were following. People were following. I was amazed later. And then I shouldn't be amazed, because I know it is the Holy Spirit working through us, bringing people together and talking about what it means to be a Christian today. And it means being that grape, being that branch that bears the grape and not withering away, not being the raisin. You know, and I challenged our listeners. I challenged the people at church on Sunday. And I'm challenging you again. You know, take a look at the grape. It is robust. It is full. It has flavor. But you know, when it's not connected to the vine, it withers away. Take some grapes, put it in your mouth and enjoy it. Take some grapes and share it with other people and tell them how beautiful life is and the flavor of life. But also take a grape and place it on your table and watch it wither away. Because no matter how beautiful life is, when it's not connected to Christ, when it's not connected to the vine, which is Christ, it withers away. It becomes basically a raisin. And you know, what do they tell you about raisins? They have good iron. You want to be noted for being filled with iron? Okay, yeah, it's important. Necessary nutrient, right? Do I sound like packaging? Okay. Anyway, let me share with you something that came up this week, okay? First of all, here in the United States, we are in an election year. It is going to be President Obama is the Democratic nominee. And it looks like, by all indications, that it's going to be Mitt Romney, who is going to be the Republican nominee. And here in the United States, we have several political parties, but it's basically those two. It is the Democratic and the Republican parties that go at it every 4 years, and at least in my lifetime, but I think in the last couple hundred years, it has been. I think in the early days, there was the Whig Party, and the Whig Party, I think, became the Democrats or became the Republicans. Anyway, it always comes down to these two parties. And so this week, the Republican, who is going to try to go against the incumbent Democratic President Obama, the Republican nominee has selected his running mate, who is going to be running for vice president. And the running mate has some economic theories. And in Time magazine, a lady named Erica Christakis, a very appropriate name for what she's going to be writing about. Erica Christakis writes about this, and you know what? It's short enough. Let me read you most of it, not all of it, but we will definitely put a link on our show notes, because here's what the title is. Is Paul Ryan, now Paul Ryan is the running mate, in other words, he's going to be running with Mitt Romney against the incumbent president, and Paul Ryan has a budget that he has proposed. Okay, now listen what she says. Is Paul Ryan's budget un-Christian? He was saying, okay, Father Boskin, what are you getting into politics? Well, what are politics getting into religion, right? Okay, well, let's... And by the way, in Time magazine, the title of it is perched underneath a small little heading called politics. We're not talking about religion, politics. Is Paul Ryan's budget un-Christian, she asks. Jesus believed in a tax rate of at least 50%. Did you know that? Well, Erica Christakis says this. Jesus believed in a tax rate of at least 50%. So how does Paul Ryan's budget proposal stand up? Okay, let me read it, the first few sentences, the first few paragraphs. It'll probably be faster than for me to summarize it. It says, Americans often tell pollsters they yearn for a return to the Christian principles on which the U.S. was founded. If so, they should take a closer look at the Mitt Romney-Paul Ryan ticket. Jesus' teachings regarding wealth are nowhere to be found in Ryan's budget proposal. As near as we can tell, Jesus would advocate a tax rate somewhere between 50%. In the vein of, if you have two coats, give one to the man who has none. And 100%, if you want to get into heaven, be poor. Mostly, he suggested giving all of your money up for the benefit of others. And Jesus made no distinction between the deserving and the undeserving poor. His love and generosity applied to all. What about Ryan? Ryan hasn't released his tax returns yet. Oh! And then she goes on to be critical of Ryan and critical of Romney. And before you accuse me of being a Romney supporter and trying to cut her down, let me tell you that I'm not. I'm the farthest thing from this. But I'm bringing this up right now because I think this is where religion really gets messed up, okay? People look and they pick and choose what makes sense for them. So the writer of this article, again in Time magazine, she says, theologically informed individuals are beginning to weigh in on the ethics of Ryan's budget plan. Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of Network, a Catholic social justice lobby, has called Ryan's budget proposal unpatriotic and immoral. And she notes, Ryan's budget rejects church teaching about solidarity and inequality and the common good. In a recent address at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church, Campbell observed that it's the government's responsibility to control society's excesses. In our culture of individualism, she said, Catholic social teachings can counter the individualism with a keen knowledge of solidarity. Okay, well, there you have it. So you got a Catholic sister weighing in, too. Ryan's proposal tax cuts for the rich would be shouldered by the working and middle class. According to Forbes magazine, the Partisan Tax Policy Center calculated that these earnings, more than $1 million, would get an average tax reduction. Those people earning more than $1 million would get an average tax reduction of more than $250,000, while 50% of the people earning $20,000 to $30,000 per year would get nothing. Put another way, under Ryan's proposed tax budget, the after-tax incomes of rich would grow by 12%. Those of the poor would increase by less than 1%. And, of course, she goes on to say how, you know, Romney, of course, I believe he's worth something like $200 million. And anyway, I will definitely put a link on our show notes. I don't want to go into any more details than I have right now, because that the point is not to make any argument for any of the political parties, but to say how people use these statistics. And if you've taken there's a class that you need to take in your freshman year at college, and they force it upon you, and you wonder, how come we have to take this class? It's called statistics. And one of the things that you learn is you can really take statistics any way that you want. You can prove anything you want by using statistics to your advantage and twirling around numbers and giving it the right spin. Okay, so Jesus advocated a 50% tax because he said, what did he say? She says, if you have a cloak, if you have two cloaks, give one cloak to the other person. Okay, very interesting. That sounds 50% to me. Yes, it does. In fact, she says that he advocates for 100% because he says that you should give everything up and be poor. Actually, he doesn't say that. Actually, it is the rich man who turns to Jesus and says, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, sell everything and follow me, right? Sell everything and give it to the poor. Now, yes, Jesus does say that, but according to the evangelists, according to one of the gospel writers. And this is where you've got to be very careful when it comes to quoting Jesus, okay? You can say anything you want. If you say it with authority, people will believe you. But you got to slow down, you know? It's just always amazing how people can be spokespeople for Jesus. In fact, isn't that what the next step is about? It's about putting our faith into action. What does it mean? It's not enough that we just read it or it's in the Bible, but what does that mean in our lives? And certainly this author, this writer of this article is challenging, is saying, hey, okay, Jesus said these things, but you just can't take it for what it's worth. Okay, 50%. This was news to me that Jesus advocated for 50%. In fact, he said it very nicely. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Just give it up. Don't be consumed by material wealth. He talks about the 100%. Well, he did tell a rich man. He turned to the rich man and he said, you know, sell everything and follow me. Give it to the poor. But he was talking to that one person and he was saying, this is what you need to do, because that person was being challenged, was being consumed by his wealth. Does that mean that wealth has no value? Does it mean that money has no value? Well, we've talked about this many, many times. Certainly it has value. It doesn't have any value as paper. It has value when you use it. And these kind of discussions are important because they get us to start thinking. But you've got to always be careful about people talking in terms of Jesus. And because you could basically prove anything you want. Now I'm going to share with you something that happened. Okay, right after I read this story in Time magazine. You know, my dad used to tell me a story about how statistics can be used. He used to tell me this story about, well, it's very appropriate. We're right in the season of the Olympics, too. He says, there was a race between an American and a Soviet, a Russian, okay? Soviet, I know some of our younger listeners don't remember what a Soviet was, okay? We'll call him a Russian. Basically, the two opponents, okay? The two arch enemies of each other back in the Cold War days. So you had a race being run. It's a two-person race, and the American wins the race. And in the American newspaper, the headline is, America wins the race, Soviets come in dead last. Well, there's only two people, so whoever didn't win comes in last. In the Soviet newspaper, in the Russian newspaper, it said that Soviets come in second, and the Americans came next to last. Both true statements, right? There's two people running. Americans came next to last. They won the race, but that's beside the point. They came next to last. You can use statistics. You can do whatever you want. You got to be careful when people throw out stuff like this. Last week, our Archbishop was with us in Glendale, and we had a town hall meeting. And people were asking about many of their concerns. And one man got up, and he was very, very concerned. He says, what can we do about the Jehovah's Witness? They come to our doors, and they talk about Bible, and they know the Bible better than any one of us know. They keep quoting the Bible. And, you know, the answer is very easy. Well, what are they quoting? Are they quoting the Bible, or are they quoting their Bible? They're quoting what they want to hear. And, you know, if you do it with authority, and if you tell people that the Americans came second to last, you're not lying, but you're not telling the entire truth, are you? Jehovah's Witness, they've got their own brand. They've got something they believe in. Okay, God bless them, but it's not the truth. You know why? Not because their Jesus is different, not because God is different. It's not the truth because it brings enmity. It divides people. It divides families. It doesn't bring peace at the end of the day. It doesn't bring love at the end of the day. So it's useless. Seriously, that's the bottom line. It's not about my religion is better than your religion. But if you can't find peace there, if you can't find love in that religion, it's not worth it. It doesn't do anything for you. You might as well just go out there and just have the boiled chicken, you know? So what happened last week? We're reading the article, okay? Just a few days ago, excuse me. So read the article in Time magazine and was thinking about it. And I happened to be listening to talk radio that day. And there was some guy who got up and he says, oh, you know, that article that was written Time magazine about Jesus opposing, you know, the Ryan plan. He says, the author of the article quotes, if you have two cloaks, sell one and give it to the other. So she's advocating for 50%, right? Two, give one away, 50%. And this man on talk radio says, yeah, but if you're talking about cloaks, Jesus also says that if you have a cloak, sell it and buy a sword. So if you want to talk about analogies, why not focus on the cloak and see that the cloak is worth a sword? So in other words, by today's standards, let's arm the people with guns and weapons. Hey, look what happened all of a sudden. All of a sudden, Jesus' words have been misconstrued. They've been mixed up. They've been sold. They've been used to advocate something that is so far from the Christian message. I'm saying all this because I think a lot of times in our lives we're so tempted to look for goodness. Because there is so much evil all around us. And we want to see the poor people being helped. We want to see a world where there's better situation for everyone. But somehow we can't give up common sense. We can't give up logic. We can't check in, as Susie says, check in our brain at the door. Jesus is all about very common sense things, about loving, caring, about knowing that the power of good is greater than the power of evil. And in fact, he was so convinced of it that he proved it. The greatest evil, putting a man on the cross, watching him suffocate, would mean it was over. But Jesus said, that's not the end. In fact, on that Good Friday, when all the chips were down, everybody said it wouldn't happen, Jesus said, don't worry, this is not the end. And they took him off the cross. They took his dead body off of the cross. They wrapped it up, put it in a shroud. They put it into a tomb. And 3 days later, that tomb was empty. And Jesus appeared. He was resurrected. And he said, this is the power that I'm giving you. This is the power of good over evil. This is the power of life over death. This is the power of love over hatred. And you can have this power. It's available to you. And there is no cost to it. It is not tied to an economic system. It is not tied to politics. In fact, it is so simple that it's yours for the asking. It means loving. It means caring. It means sacrifice. It means being a Christian, being a loving individual. That's what it comes down to. It's so easy. But we complicate it, don't we? We complicate it. Tax codes, 50%, 100%. God bless them. They gave us something to talk about. God bless them because they got us to think. And I think that's what's important. It's going to be an interesting election season. I look forward to more debates such as this. This was a fun one. We will put a link on our show notes and make sure you do check it out. Check out what we said. You know what? Ani is going to be taking a little bit of a break. What I'm thinking about doing, I'm thinking about playing some Best of Ani Bubble series. How would you like that? Well, for today, we will try just that.
The House with Golden Windows. Today's Spiritual Bubble. A little girl lived in a small, very simple, poor house on a hill. She would play in the garden, and as she grew, she was able to see over the garden fence and across the valley to a wonderful house on the hill. And this house had golden windows, so golden and shining that the little girl would dream of how magic it would be to grow up and live in a house with golden windows instead of an ordinary house like hers. And although she loved her parents and her family, she yearned to live in such a golden house and dreamed all day about how wonderful and exciting it must feel to live there. When she got to an age where she gained enough skill and sensibility to go outside her garden fence, she asked her mother if she could go for a bike ride outside the gate and down the lane. After pleading with her, her mother finally allowed her to go, insisting that she kept close to the house and didn't wander too far. The day was beautiful, and the little girl knew exactly where she was heading. Down the lane and across the valley, she rode her bike until she got to the gate of the golden house across the other hill. As she dismounted her bike and leaned it against the gate post, she focused on the path that led to the house, and then on the house itself. She was so disappointed as she realized all the windows were plain and rather dirty, reflecting nothing other than the sad neglect of the house that stood derelict. So sad, she didn't go any further and turned, heartbroken, as she remounted her bike. As she glanced up, she saw a sight to amaze her. There, across the way, on the other side of the valley, there was a little house and its windows glistened golden as the sun shone on her little home. She realized that she had been living in her golden house, and all the love and care she found there was what made her home a golden house. Everything she dreamed was right there in front of her. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
What is the saying? It's better the second time around, something like that. Anyway, there is the Best of Ani Bubbles series. She's got so many wonderful bubbles, and it's kind of nice that we get a chance to listen to them again. And unlike the soap bubbles, these don't pop. They are always for with us, you know. And a little different music today too, right? We had Paco Bell's Canon, I think that was. Yeah, Hagop's over there doing the music today. Appreciate that. And here is Susie to tell you how you can get involved in a lot of stuff to appreciate.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities, proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And to all of our listeners, I hope you take it to heart. What she talks about is really being supportive in many different ways. Of course, your prayers are important. A constant prayer life is essential for every Christian, because what happens is when you pray, you're not only praying for something outside of you, but you're really awakening within you the need for you to get involved. So when you pray, you're saying that, how can I do? What can I do to make a difference in the world, in my life, in my community, around me, and certainly in Epostle? All of it is in our hands. Today, what we're doing through Epostle, through the Next Step, through programming such as Compass. I know we've been getting people that are following us. Do a shout out to Carolyn, who came by to our church on Sunday in Glendale. And I want to make that a blanket invitation to everybody who listens to The Next Step. Do come out on a Sunday morning. I mean, this summer we've had some great people come out. All the way from Australia, too. We've had people coming out from Europe, from Armenia, our dear friends from Indiana, just places that you wouldn't imagine. But this is the power of this podcast. This is the power of technology today, to be able to reach out. Yes, we are on a small little corner in Glendale, but we do have a worldwide mission. And it's made possible through your prayers and, of course, through your generous support. You need to be able to support it in a healthy way. And we need to be able to talk about it in a healthy way as well. You know, let's be really honest. What is the Armenian Church today? When people talk to us about the Next Step and what we're doing over here, you realize how refreshing it is. You're talking about a real faith. You're not talking about something pie in the sky. You're not talking about incense, and you're not talking about spires that reach up to heaven and there's nobody up there. You're talking about incense that is alive in all of your senses. You're talking about spires that make your attention go up to heaven so that you become part of that heavenly experience. And I want you to think about it. When we talk about Armenian Church today, you know, a lot of times the rhetoric is the Armenian Church is the birthplace of my soul. It's a 2,000-year-old institution. It's 1,700 years old. St. Gregory the Illuminator came, the first Christian nation. And there's all kinds of slogans that we have with it. The Armenian Church really died in 1915 when the Turks tried to annihilate the Armenian people. A mass genocide took place in 1915, and the Armenian Church died. But by the grace of God, it rose. It rose from that Golgotha. It rose from that Calvary. It rose from that crucifixion, and it resurrected. And it was a slow process. It was a slow process, just as Jesus resurrected in first Mary Magdalene noticed him. Mary Magdalene then went and told Peter. Peter then went and told the other disciples. And slowly the word got out. Well, that's what happened. The Armenian church resurrected after that crucifixion. And that first generation of priests and bishops, sometimes people talked down to them. But these were the real brave ones, right? They were able to gather all the strength that they have to put together the seminaries, to keep teaching, to bring together the books from the ashes, the risen phoenix. And there they were trying to make that church work. And then after that church, that for the first 20, 30 years in throughout America, throughout the European continent, throughout the world, small little islands were being formed. This was the Armenian church. Those islands started connecting. This was the dioceses. But still, from where? Where were the people going to be standing? Who was going to be talking to these people? But God has his plan, and it's a slow process of Mary talking to Peter, Peter telling the disciples. And now here we are talking about the Armenian church. It's only been 95 years, but you know what? It's at a point right now where it cannot survive just on the stories, just on the beautiful structures that are up there. We've got to make that faith a living faith. So that first generation, second generation of clergy that came through, they kept the doors of the church open. God bless them. Now it is our responsibility that those church doors are open. It is our responsibility to lead people in, to say that there is a magic, there is a beauty, there is a warmth, there is a holistic experience inside of the Armenian church. And it's there for the asking. It's there for the taking. You need to plug in, because once you get plugged into Armenian Orthodoxy, you really don't want to separate. There is something that is esoteric. There is something that is very real. There is something that challenges you, challenges your brain. It challenges all of your senses. So when you walk into a church, yes, you smell something. You smell the incense. You see visually. You taste the Holy Communion. You participate in touch by giving the kiss of peace. You participate with all of your senses, including your reason. And that's what Armedoxy is about. It's not unreasonable. It's not check your brain in. It's like use your brain. And you see that there is only one answer. That answer is the resurrection. That answer is, after crucifixion, Jesus said, there is a resurrection. It happened for him. The Armenian church is another proof of that. After crucifixion, there is resurrection. But you can't leave it at that point. And this message needs to be talked about. Gone are the days, because we're seeing in too many Armenian churches, too many of those Armenian churches, people are not coming in. They're missing out on a big part of life. And beyond the Armenian people, the Armenian church has a message to the entire world. It is that message of resurrection. And that's what Armedoxy is about. That's what we do over here. That's what the next step is about. So when you plug into the next step, when you plug into Epostle, you're not only supporting this kind of programming, you're supporting the entire vision, the vision for an Armenian Orthodoxy that touches the entire world. I was talking to Linda the other day, who does Linda, the Compass show with Linda Zadoyan. And we were talking about the next bit of programming that we're going to be doing on that show. And we came down to, okay, well, what is our object? What is our objective at this point? And she said it so beautifully. Once you have this, once you plug into this, you feel compelled to tell other people too. Like it's a beautiful secret that's just been hiding there. And why should it be a secret? Let's get the world in on it. Let them know that there is an experience to be resurrected from all of your crucifixions. There is an experience to challenge yourself, to find love in your life. The difficulties that you have are not the end of it all, but there is something more powerful than all of the evil, than all of the hatred, and that is love. And that has not only been said to us by Jesus Christ, but there is now proof, and the proof is a living Armenian Orthodox faith that goes beyond the Armenian people. The Armenian people become the catalyst, become the example for the rest of the world to see that, hey, what's going on in Syria? What's going on in Africa? What's going on in Asia? What's going on here in the United States, all around us? These are difficult times right now, but they can be overcome by the power that's within us to reach out to one another, to help one another, to love one another, and experience that resurrection. Pie in the sky? Not really. There are examples, and that's what makes it real. Beginning with Jesus Christ and continuing until today. I gave you an example of the Armenian church. The example of a church that was crucified like Christ because it preached love like Christ and it resurrected. We have an opportunity to participate in that resurrection. And it becomes a participation that you take on to your life. Hey, last year I went up on a cross, had some health issues. Had a terrible thing called cancer invade my life. And I said, you know what? Got to deal with it. But I'm back right now. We're going to be fighting. Next month, we're going to be walking against breast cancer. We're going to be doing like a 39-mile walk. Hey, you know what? Why don't I tell you about that right now, too? If you want to get involved in that, you can make a donation. Support us in our walk. Our object is to raise $36,000, and we're doing it. Just a small group of us, but we're doing it. We're doing it because of the love that Christ has put in our heart. Call Team In Her Shoes. In His Shoes, Team In Her Shoes. We're on Facebook. We'll put a link on today's show notes too. But you get the idea. It's making that faith real in our lives, and we want you to be a participant in it. We want you to do it with us, okay? Because it's beautiful. We love it. It's made a difference in our lives. We want to share it with you. So we hope you'll accept the invitation. And with that invitation, we'll bring an end to today's show. How ironic, huh? Yeah, we're filled with ironies. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, we want to thank you for joining us. Do join us throughout the week at epostle.net. You'll find today's podcast as well as every other podcast we've ever put together since the beginning of time, along with Compass and our sermon series and our In Step with Christ videos, all kinds of stuff. Epostle, that's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe, epostle.net. For Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Vosken, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Don't forget us, Susie. Hey, Chris. Happy birthday.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.